Hey guys, I'm Alexa Reeves, and I'll be your witch and host on today's episode of Boxed Wine and Witchcraft. Today, I'll be drinking a reasonably priced Merlot and talking about the four phases of the divine moon and what kind of work and tools we can incorporate into our practice with the moon and any of the moon magic that we can work. I'd like to remind everyone that your spirituality and religion is as unique as your fingerprint. What we say here is by no means the definitive rule on any topic, merely a jumping off point for you to begin your exploration into the amazing and complex world around you. So, with air that inspires us, earth that grounds us, fire that enlightens us, and water that moves us, let's check our almanacs and see what phase of the moon we're in, guys, because this kind of magic, we can really get into. So the moon, it's that 4.5, 3 billion year old rock that is orbiting our planet and has sway over so many things. The moon holds sway over our ocean tides. It holds sway over moons, several female practitioners I know say that the moon holds sway over their cycles, over the seasons. But why do we have the moon? Why is there this giant rock floating around above us? It's believed that about 4.5 billion years ago, that the moon was actually a rock that got caught in the Earth's gravitational pull. The Earth spins on its axis, and the moon rotates around us while we're on that axis. And the moon runs a consistent 28-day orbit. And what we actually see when we look up at the moon and we see how bright it is or the slivers of it, we're actually seeing the sun's reflection off of the moon. We're seeing that light reflected off of the moon relative to its position to us on Earth here. Because the moon orbits us in a 28-day cycle, it goes from new to waxing to full to waning. There are 13 full moons per year. It is very common belief that the number 13 is an unlucky number. I think that was a lot of propaganda. 13 is a special number because it's the number of full moons we get in a year. Each full moon has a specific name. It has specific characteristics associated with it depending on the type of season it falls into. And also, as the moon goes through its phases, it travels through the 12 zodiac signs on the calendar as well. So a lot of times we will hear things like, oh, this new moon is in Pisces, or oh, the full moon's in Aries. It's because the moon travels in its cycle. And as it does that, it's moving through the calendar year with us within the zodiac as well. The moon is often associated with symbolism related to the goddess, to the divine feminine out there. It is associated with the idea of unconsciousness, inner workings, dream states, mysteries, anything on that more emotional and kind of figurative level rather than a literal level. The moon comes up in so many different media representations, references, books, magazines, TV shows, you name it, almost everyone touches on the moon at some point in time. One of my favorite quotes is the Shakespeare one. In Romeo and Juliet, we hear, "Oh, swear not by the moon, the inconsistent moon, that monthly changes in her circled orb, lest that thy love prove likewise variable." I love that. I love that even in Shakespeare's time, we knew the moon changed in her orb. We were watching it happen and we were commenting on it. So let's talk about what we can do in each of these moon phases. So we'll start with the darkest part of the moon. This is when the moon is full black. We can't see anything of it. It's completely not in the sky. So the new moon into the waxing moon, as it gets kind of bigger, is the phase we're looking at first here. And work typically done on the new moon is work to begin new projects. It's startings of new things, new enterprises, gaining inspiration for things. This is a good idea to have new affirmations or new goals to set, new attitudes, new lifestyle choices that you want to bring into your daily practice. The new moon is associated with white magic. It's associated with magic of liberation, of courage, of becoming something new. Literally, the new moon is wiping the slate clean. It's an excellent starting over point. It's an excellent point to say, this is the end of a moment or a bad habit, or this is the dark part before we move into the next. As we move into the next, we get our lovely waxing moon. And waxing just means getting bigger. It's growing brighter. So our waxing moon is when it starts pushing itself from that lovely little slivered fingernail portion to that quarter, to that half point there. The waxing moon is a great time for you to grow things, to concentrate on living to the fullest. This is a moment when you want to enhance things. You want to grow things in your life. Any sort of spell work or ritual work that has to do with increases. Increases in luck, in finances, in love. Increases in motivation. If you have certain projects that you want to bring more resources in on, the waxing moon is a great time to do that kind of work. Because you're taking the moon growing, and as she grows bigger, you're growing your own magic bigger with her. You're using that energy with her to increase and to kind of become more fruitful with whatever project it is you're working on. That brings us to our lovely full moon. This is when she is brightest, fullest circle in the sky. In the pagan and magic community, the full moons are called espids. We hear that a lot. And the full moon is great. The full moon is an excellent time for creativity to do, you see a lot of full moon rituals associated with gatherings. A lot of covens or religious groups will choose full moons to gather on because there's that peak height of energy that you can harness. And whereas waxing moon energy is all about getting bigger, full moon energy is just there. It is at that peak level of energy for you to harness and use with whatever kind of magic you're working towards. It's associated with reds and fertilities. This is a great time to make moon water or charge your crystals or charge any of your altar tools just by leaving them outside if you can safely or in a window where you can see the moon. It's a great time to have full moon water to charge sacred waters together to use later in rituals. It's a great time for celebrations, for harnessing that peak energy there. And the full moon, we see that in so many different cultural references as well. I know several people who work in the ER still say, full moon, it's going to be the busiest night in the ER. We see a lot of people that study wildlife and people that do hunting and things like that, that they will say that the full moon is when predators tend to be most active. Because you can see by the light, it gets physically brighter outside, even though it's dark. So as that full moon reaches its peak, it starts to wane. And that's when we get our waning moon. So our waning moon phase is anywhere between the full part, where the black part of the moon slowly starts taking back over. The fullness of the moon settles back to half, back to quarter, back to that little sliver, and we're slowly headed back to the new moon phase here. The waning moon, when the moon is getting skinnier and smaller for us, this is a great time for turning inward, for doing introspective kind of works. This is a time for repose, for transformation work. This is a really great time to do any sort of shadow work or banishing. Anytime you want to diminish something or rid yourself of something or pull something away from you in any sort of magical way, the waning moon is the best time to do that, because as the moon wanes down in her power and kind of pulls that back, you can work with that energy to take things away from you, to push them away from you and get them further from you. The moon is an excellent starting point for any magical work that you'd like to do. It's a great point for study. It's a good point for all beginning practitioners and even seasoned practitioners to re-kind of acclimate yourself to your practice. Because the moon is always there. That's the great part about the moon. It's so accessible. You don't have to have books or tools or anything like that. You just have to be able to look outside and find the moon to know what it's doing. It's a great way to set schedules for yourself to within your magical practice. You know, for example, every new moon, I'm going to clean off my altar, reset the altar space and clean it up. Or every full moon, this is when the coven gets together. This is when the magic friends get together. This is when we all celebrate this portion together. I will leave you all with my favorite moon chant or poem. It's just a lovely little synopsis poem that I found in my very early years of practicing and study. And it kind of just sums up all of that work within the full moon and the kind of work we can do. So the chant goes as follows. Bide by the moon and follow her glow. By the light of the new, we renew and grow. By the wax quarter, determination shows. By the full moonlight, our desires are known. By the waning quarter, we ebb after flow. By the dark moon's presence, we return what we have sown. So bide by the moon and follow her glow. Guys, I want to thank you for hanging out with me today as we discuss the moon phases, and the magic you can kind of do with those. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out to us over at Goddess Elite. We are always happy to help. We are always happy to supply you with resources and other fun magical workings for you. And until next time, guys, say cheers, pour yourself another glass of wine, and hey, go dance naked under the full moon. You never know. It's kind of nice outside. I haven't tried it personally, but let me know if you do, okay?